With SDPB News, I'm John Wynn. The South Dakota legislature is considering curtailing public input at water management board hearings. House Bill 1028 limits opposition to projects that use the state's water supplies. Under this bill, only people uniquely injured by the water use can initiate a contested case. Proponents say the bill streamlines the permitting process, but opponents say it stifles citizen participation. Victoria Wicks has more of this story for SDPB.
Eric Gronlund is the chief engineer for the State Water Management Board. He testifies in favor of House Bill 1028 before the House Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources. And he specifically refers to 12 days of board hearings held over 3 months in 2019 to consider water use permits for the Keystone XL pipeline.
Public interest matters heard by the board consisted of sex trafficking, drug use related to workforce man camps, and potential spill hazard posed by the pipeline once constructed.
Gronlund says confined animal operations, housing developments, and industries might present matters of public interest, but they're not handled by the Water Management Board. Instead, the board's responsibility is to determine whether there is enough water available for the project to go ahead. After testimony from several supporters and opponents, the committee passed the bill with just one no vote, and the full House discussed the bill the following day. There, Representative Ryan Schwack spoke in opposition. The Yankton lawyer says the bill is one of the many the legislature has considered over the years to limit citizen participation.
We kind of keep seeing these bills where the government's asking us to shorten the notice period or limit exactly which South Dakotans exactly have a right to say something to their government. And it's usually in the name of streamlining or efficiency, as if our public is a nuisance to our government.
Schwack says every South Dakotan should be considered an interested person when it comes to what the government does. Bill proponents say the current statute does not adequately define public interest. Opponents say the bill doesn't define unique injury. The House passed the bill by a 49-21 vote. It now moves to the Senate Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks.
Legislative coverage is brought to you by the South Dakota Bar Foundation, SDN Communications, Missouri River Energy Services, Touchmark Retirement Communities, the Boyce Law Firm, and the Friends of SDPB.
The South Dakota Department of Health is looking for volunteers to help administer the coronavirus vaccines. Health officials have set up a website where potential volunteers from across the state can register to assist with COVID-19 vaccination efforts. And volunteers who are willing to help in medical settings may qualify to receive their vaccine early. Volunteers who register on the portal can select what type of volunteer work they're seeking. The DOH says you don't necessarily have to have a medical background. Applicants will be vetted by the health department before any volunteer opportunities are offered. South Dakota health officials report 6 cases of a disease children can get from a COVID-19 infection. It's called multisystem inflammatory syndrome, and the cases have happened since last summer. State epidemiologist Josh Clayton says all the cases were in patients younger than 17.
Multiple organs of the body become inflamed, including the heart, lungs, kidneys, brain, skin.
Clayton says all 6 patients were hospitalized, but no one has died. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports more than 1,600 cases of the syndrome and 26 deaths nationwide. The Custer County Commission has repealed its ordinance allowing people to carry guns in the courthouse. After the ordinance went into effect in early December, the Seventh Circuit put forth a policy that circuit judges would no longer appear in person in Custer. Commission Chairman Jim Lintz says the decision to repeal the ordinance wasn't just about money. SDPB's Victoria Wicks reports.
The South Dakota legislature gave counties the authority to waive restrictions on guns in courthouses. But when Custer County did that, the state Supreme Court then gave its approval to the Seventh Circuit to keep its judges from going there. Commission Chairman Jim Lintz says the county stood to lose quite a bit of money moving hearings to the Pennington County Courthouse an hour away. But he says time is also a factor.
The man hours it was going to take to move everything to Rapid City to court was going to be a real load on our sheriff and our state's attorney.
Lintz says people who testified in favor of keeping the ordinance in place were angry that their right to carry guns was inhibited by the court.
Most of the testimony was saying that it wasn't right that they could do this. Well, like I say, that in my mind, that was taken care of with when we lost the decision with the Supreme Court.
As for whether that right to carry exists in a courthouse, Lintz says it does because the state legislature says so, and he doesn't disagree with that state law.
There are some places probably I don't think we need to carry guns, but as far as making it unsafe because they're carrying guns, I actually think it makes it safer.
The commission is going to review the matter again in 6 months, but Lintz says unless the county can come up with a solution acceptable to the circuit judges, he doesn't think the commission will resurrect the ordinance. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks.
A series of faraway events is causing the sale of a cult compound in South Dakota. SDPB's Seth Tupper reports.
The cult is the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, known as FLDS. It broke away long ago from the Mormon Church. The cult is based in a community called Short Creek on the Arizona-Utah border. It has enclaves elsewhere, including a compound in South Dakota's Black Hills. The cult's leader, Warren Jeffs, is serving life in prison for sexually abusing girls he took as wives. Since his conviction about 15 years ago, the FLDS has been unraveling. Ken Driggs is a legal scholar who studies the cult.
I don't know what their numbers are now. At one point, I think they could have counted maybe 10,000 members, but you know, if they've got 2,000 adherents now, I'd be surprised.
The latest sign of the cult's decline is the impending loss of its compound in a remote part of the southern Black Hills near Pringle. A judge has ordered the Custer County Sheriff to put the compound up for sale. The sale is scheduled for February 25th. The proceeds are earmarked for three men who won a lawsuit against the FLDS several years ago. The men, who are not FLDS members, had an agreement to farm and ranch on former FLDS property in Short Creek. While they were on the property, FLDS members allegedly captured and detained two of the men unlawfully and prevented all three from using the property. The men won judgments worth more than $2 million. They're still owed most of it. A judge recently ordered the sale of the South Dakota compound to raise some of the money. The compound is surrounded by fences, berms, and a guard tower. Inside are several dorm-like structures, other buildings, and gardens. Custer County Sheriff Marty McKaylee says people inside the compound have told him about 20 adults live there. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Seth Tupper.
That's your daily news update. Follow SDPB News on social and visit sdpb.org/news to keep up with our journalism as it comes in. Thank you for listening.